Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing today?
Happy.
Yeah. How was last Sunday? Good. Paul came.
Awesome.
Missed
you.
I know. He is risen. And today we are going to get into the rapture. We are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. You know what? Let's start off in prayer before we do anything. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to learn, teach, and just go through the Word of God. And your Word is sacred, powerful, and changes lives. And it gives us eternal life. Believing in your Son, that He died, and that He is risen, and that He died for our sins. And we want to be grateful for that. Grateful for the ones that are asleep already, that have died in you. And we know that they're with you. We're going to cover that today. And we know that when we die, we will be with you. And we're grateful eternally for the love and the hope that you've given us. And this cloudy day, we know that your word shines bright through all days, through all situations, through all struggles. And we're grateful for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I didn't mention anybody, loved ones who are sick. We pray for them. We know Ray and others. And people who are not here, people who are moved into other states, and family and friends, and even unbelievers. We pray for their souls, that they come to learn the truth. And hopefully the things that we've planted in people's minds and hearts will take root. And the Lord giveth the increase. So, all right. That being said, we're in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to be covering the rapture. I am not like an expert in the rapture. So we're just going to go with what I see or what I... the things that I would say that I know. But the rapture is the caught up there in Thessalonians. And you know what? Let's just go through, let's just read the scriptures that we're going to be going through. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So, I got the chills reading that, because the Paul saw it fit, saw it important to tell the Thessalonians to comfort each other with these words. This is that blessed hope we've seen in Titus, and that this is something that was only revealed to and through the Apostle Paul. This is nothing to do with prophecy. Anybody listening for the first time, if you really want to truly understand the Bible, learn the differences between prophecy and mystery, learn the differences between law and grace, and the Bible will come to life, and you will see things that you haven't seen, and all the ups and downs will fit neatly together, and you'll see what the Bible really teaches. And so just a quick overview: you have Adam and Eve, then the earth was populated, became violent, and then they had Noah. We're going to do a quick timeline: Noah's Ark, the flood, Noah, and then it goes into the Tower of Babel, then into Abraham, then after Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, you have Moses, Then the law comes in, and then after that, you have 1,500 years into what was supposed to be prophesied, all prophecy, to where Christ was going to come and become the king in the kingdom. So this is like, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he was supposed to reign on earth, but God had a secret, right? So God had something that disrupted that program, that prophecy program that everybody knows about, and it's called grace. So that mystery grace program was revealed through Paul, and one of the things that was revealed to him is this thing called that we call the rapture, but in the Bible it's called departure or being caught up. So we're going to go through that, it often gets confused with Christ's second coming. So we know that Christ's second coming is him coming back on the earth. So during the rapture, Christ meets us in the air. During Christ's second coming, remember when he was caught up and he was caught up by a cloud, and that he left the Mount of Olives. When he comes back, he's going to come back on the Mount of Olives. So he's going to come back the same way that he left. And that's what's called the second coming. And that's the difference between the rapture of him meeting us in the air. It's just even, you know, there's three heavens mentioned in the Bible. There's the heavens of the fowls, the heavens of the stars, and the heaven where God. And the heavens of the fowls is the atmosphere, the air. So he's going to meet us in the air. But the dead will raise up first. So, all right, let's. And I also wanted to say that God's word is sacred. We always want to not trample or mess up what God has really said in His word. I know we all try. We don't want to be arguing. We want to plant the seed. But I know me myself. I try not to compromise for God's word. With God's word, if it's the truth, it stands. Whoever you're talking to, whether it's your wife or your husband, kids. Now, if somebody believes one way, then that's what you believe. Plant the seed, become a good example, or try to be. But compromising for God's word is something that we do not want to do and can't do. So if we know the truth, then say it as the truth. You know, what does God's word say? Basically, the truth shall set you free. All right, so a lot of people, there was no understanding of this. So it's been about 1,900 years that we've been under this grace program, and it's the calling out of the body of Christ, which is the church, and the body of Christ is the true church, and we all know this. So that's just a overview of the rapture. Okay, if anybody hasn't heard or forgot, or is anybody's listening for the first time. All right, so verse 13, 1 Thessalonians. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So, obviously, some of the Thessalonians were ignorant, but what about today? Aren't some of our brothers and sisters in Christ today ignorant of this fact? If you ask anybody, hey, you ever heard of the rapture? You know, you're going to get caught up in the air and go to heaven with the Lord. They're going to look at you like you mean the second coming? Or they mix the law and grace, they mix the mystery and prophecy. And that's, no, those are two different things. The only person who speaks of this catching up in the air is Paul. So, so that allows a lot of people ignorant even today, and it was back then, concerning them which are asleep. So when he says that which they are asleep, that them that are dead in Christ, they are already, our loved ones have fallen and died in Christ, so they are asleep. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So the others which have no hope are, you know, the unsaved. They don't know where their loved ones are going. I mean, think about it. Is that scary? Think about it. You don't know where you're going to go when you die. Or if you do know, you're going to cease to exist. Or if you do know, you're going to be incarnated to a butterfly. But the Lord offers, you get eternal life. You're going to be resurrected with a with a changed body. We're going to go over that today. And I wanted to show you that there was, that the Thessalonians themselves there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, just the other page, that night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So they had some things lacking in their faith, and I'm pretty sure this is what it was, that they didn't fully understand this rapture, the business. Well, we call it as the rapture, but so we don't want to be ignorant of this fact for sure. And the Lord will come for us, you know, his sleeping members, and he will, this is basically, he don't want you to be ignorant of this, and we know what it is, what's going on, but there's a lot of people that don't. So anybody listening, know this fact that there were people ignorant, and there are today. So verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So basically those are the qualifications and requirements for being in the rapture. Believe that Christ, you know, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, you know, for our sins, it's a qualification for being part of the rapture. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So like we said, we know that those who sleep is the ones who died in Christ. And so the departed soul is in the, when you die, your soul is present with the Lord. Your body stays here, whether it decays or it dies or it breaks down or you cremate it. The body is what's going to be resurrected. The soul goes straight with the Lord himself. So for that resurrection day for us, is that when we're going to searching for a new body. So there's a thing called soul sleep that's an error doctrine. So they say, oh, the soul sleeps, but the soul doesn't sleep. It's the body that's asleep, and that we're going to get our changed body, that the Lord is going to be fashioned as the Lord's. And if you wanted to learn about this, we're going to go into it later too, but 1 Corinthians 15 is, they have the, it's like a resurrection chapter. We're going to go through that. I'm sure you guys went over them verses last Sunday and some of them, but let's see what else. So our conscience still exists, you know, and if you think about it, if we close our eyes, you know, you could still see things, right? Mountains, cars, your imagination is still there. But so the conscience, when your soul, when you die, your conscience is not dead. You're still up. And how do we know that? We have the, remember the rich man? And I mentioned this with Rhonda and the kids the other day, the rich man in Lazarus. They were, he opened his eyes and he was in hell, in torments. And he had to have been conscious. He had to have been awake and knowing. Because how would he have this conversation with Abraham? And so that, and then what did the Lord, the unbelieving Jews, when they said, Abraham is dead. And the Lord said, Abraham saw my day. And that's where Christ was, you know, Christ was on this earth. So Abraham still conscious, still alive. But the body, it's got to be talking about the body, sleep, soul. That being said, let's see, what else can I go to? See, there's an unconscious. Let's check out 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 14. Oh, even when Paul in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, And where he's like, do I know whether I'm in the body or not? Or when he was the stoning of Lystra, where he mentions that he went into the third heaven. If soul sleep is true, Paul would have known if he was out of the body. You know, he would have known that he was. So, that's just debunking that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And if that kind of goes through it, my notes are not the best today. But let's go back to 1 Thessalonians, go to verse 15. Alright, so now we know that the Thessalonians were ignorant. Today we have people that are ignorant of this fact, that the people that are asleep, that those are the dead in Christ, and that for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and that's that qualification for believing the rapture. And verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. So I think that prevents is like precede them which are asleep. So like, so that like we're not going to go first. They're going to be raised first and then we will. So instead of prevent, like stopping somebody or something, that's just saying, hey, they're going to go first and then we will be resurrected after. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So this is going to happen in an instant. When the rapture happens, it's going to happen instantaneously. It's going to be, you're here 1 minute and you're gone the other. That's my take on it. Could be someone probably has another take on it, but like you'll be here and then you won't. And that'll be so there's only, as we know, two people that never actually died, Elias and Enoch. So they never actually physically died. And that's how the rapture is going to be. The people aren't going to physically, you know, God, the body of Christ isn't going to die. They're going to go straight to the air. And there's something that I'm going to go through that I thought was interesting about that in verse 16. But, yeah. And like I said, our corpses, bones, ashes, the soul's going to reunite with that changed body during that time. And let me see what I got here. All right. Like I said, the rapture was only revealed. And post-tribulation rapture, good, that we will go through. Yeah, so there's a belief that we go through the rapture after the tribulation, and that's not true. That's a post-tribulation rapture where we go through the tribulation of 7 years of chaos and then we get raptured. But that's simply not true. That's the time of the second coming, and that's and there's a lot of people that believe. There's a lot of great men of God's word that have brought people to the Lord that believe certain things. But like we said before, once you can really, because if you don't rightly divide, the Bible can contradict itself so quickly. If you see Paul as in his authority and with his scripture and his writings, and you put those into application, the Bible makes sense. Everything makes sense. And that the rapture before the tribulation fits and only makes sense. How it makes sense during that time period, it just does. It doesn't, why would it come after the 7 years, when the Lord's going to reign for 1,000 years already, and he's going to already defeat the Antichrist. But, okay, moving forward. I think I'm going a little quick here. Like I said, I am in no way a professional at this, but professional at the rapture. I'm just seeing how I see it. Verse 16. In 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So there was a lot there that I kind of was looking up on, and I thought it was interesting. So just first and foremost, the Lord himself is going to come for us. He's not going to just send people to come get us. He himself, with all his love, with all his glory, with all his... he could be doing anything he wants. He's the Lord. He's going to come for little old me, little old us. And he's going to come and snatch us up and catch us up because he loves us. That's just basically what encompasses our Lord. He loves us. You don't have to. He just does. So it's just in his nature and his... whoever, you know, that in his nature that encompasses him, he's got love for us, and that's, he does things himself. He himself is going to come for us. He loves the church, and he's going to come for his church, so, for the body of Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend. So he's going to descend into the air. He's coming, he's not going to make it all the way to the earth. He's going to be in the air. So, from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. So, the archangel we know is Michael. And we know that there's four angels mentioned in the Bible. We have Lucifer, Michael, Gabriel, and the angel that's in Revelation that holds the key to the bottomless pit, which is Abaddon, I think. And I think those are the only four named angels in the Bible. And we know Gabriel's like a messenger angel. We know that Michael is the archangel. And Lucifer, which is Satan, the devil, had the number two spot. He fell with a third of the angels. And that he still had some kind of, still got a certain rank to him amongst the angels when they were fighting for Moses' body. So I don't know how it is. I honestly don't know how his rank stands today. But from what I understand, Michael is basically, he was the prince of Israel. So he was Israel's angel. But I don't think he's Israel's angel today anymore. He could be, but I don't think he is. I think he's just the commanding officer of the angels. That he is the basic, like a commander in chief of the angels. So that he's just running the armies of the angels. So this is just what I'm gathering. So still there in verse 16, you have the voice of the archangel, which I assume is Michael, because he's called the archangel in scripture. And Michael, and with the trump of God, so that's like militia, you know, military. He's coming for us. And the reason why I bring that up so is that they're going to be meeting us in the air. And who is the prince of the power of the air? Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, is probably going to be in the air trying to disrupt certain things. And that he's probably going to have his demons, his army angels, and probably going to disrupt some things. So that's probably why the Lord is going to be there with the archangel and with the trump, with the shout. This is just things that I'm gathering here. So, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So, and the reason why I said that, because he's the prince of the power in the air, and we have a conflict, and it's a spiritual warfare that we go through. And we see that in both in Ephesians. Let's see. And all right, so let's go to, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And let's go, you know what? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now let's go to this chapter. And this is the other chapter that talks about, we're going to go to verse 1. We're going to kind of skim through everything real quick. Go through everything. So this is a good chapter to kind of keep in your arsenal of telling people about God's word, you know. You're like, what? Oh, okay, let me show you real quick. 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We know 1 through 4 is the gospel. And we see that he was seen. So he was rose. He was seen of Cephas the 12. He was seen of 500 brethren at once. That's a lot of people. In verse 7, after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Verse 8, in the last, he was seen of me, and also one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles. That's the apostle Paul talking about himself. And that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And moving down, let's go to verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So there's people out there, you know, and I think it was the Sadducees?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Sadducees didn't believe that. So, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is your preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. So if our Lord is not risen, then we're just up here for no reason. We know that not to be true. Yea, and we are found false witness of God, because we have testified of God, and he raised us up Christ. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. The ones that you love, are they dead? Are they perished? The ones in Christ, the ones that we loved here on earth? No, they ain't perished. They're alive and well. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men of most miserable. Are we miserable? No. No, we know the truth. People who are miserable don't want to believe this. We know the truth. We have a joy that surpasses even understanding. Why is that guy always why is that guy through trial and tribulation and through issues and, oh, he's got this going on with him. How could he even be happy? Because I know what's to come. What's 80 years on this earth to eternity in heaven? Paul thought he was going to be in the rapture. Paul thought he was going to be caught up. There's men who thought they were going to be caught up today, like Les Feldick. He was looking forward to before he died. And this is our hope, to be with the Lord, to have him come for us. So, moving forward, let's go to verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So basically, that we're going to be changed. We're going to be raised, and it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that the body will change, and that we will have a body that is incorruptible, that will withstand the third heaven, that will withstand, that is not corrupted, that it's going to be in the fashion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same as His body is. And this flies in the face of what people want to believe, because it's all scripture here, okay? You know, this is, I'm not reading from any, you know. And we know that the final victory, we're going to read into 58, verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. That's what we got going for us. Immortality. Resonate with that. The Lord is immortal, and He's offering this for us out of love. All right, so immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The Lord surpassed death and defeated death, and the first to be resurrected. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's another beautiful thing that we all slack at times. We're not perfect, but those times that you did, those times that you did do things for the Lord, you think the Lord misses it? There isn't a sparrow that falls on the ground that the Lord don't know. There isn't anything that the Lord doesn't know. So He sees when the times that you did do something for the Lord, He sees it. So you keep doing it. You know, keep going. So that's the other chapter that, you know. So, and there's another thing. Let's go to verse, let's go back to Thessalonians. And let's finish. All right, so then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So then the dead shall rise first. We go after. And we're caught up. Caught up. And together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be. So meet the Lord in the air. We're not going to meet Him on the Mount of Olives. We went through that. It's kind of like there goes another difference. The heavens, we'll meet Him in the heavenlies. We're not going to meet Him on the earth. Because remember, there's two programs. There's a heavenly and earthly program. The Old Testament didn't know about this. We know that. Every believer will suddenly be changed. And what does the world think? The world thinks it's impossible. So, but all things are possible with our Lord. So we got clouds. The clouds, sometimes the clouds, from what I have found, means heavenly hosts or a multitude of hosts. So you have, it can mean that Revelation 1:7 says He cometh with clouds. Hebrew 12:1, a great a cloud of witnesses. The transfiguration of our Lord, a bright cloud overshadowed them. During His ascension, a cloud received Him. And the pillar of a cloud leading Israel through the wilderness. So, it could be that when there in verse 4:17, that we which are alive and remain caught up together with them in the clouds. So, could be meaning actually clouds, or could mean an angel, an angelic host there. Well, you've seen that in verse 16, where the trump of the archangel, and that the archangel's going to be around there. So, just stating that. And to meet the Lord in the air. Okay, so I have about 10 minutes. But this is something that I don't fully understand, but they say the meeting in the air is the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I don't know. Now, you see that? We can go to Romans 14:10. Now, like, this is something that I haven't fully gotten into, so I'm just bringing it up. Romans, so the judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14:10. So, we'll go to verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord. For whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died, and rose, and revived, and that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So, here's written, that is one word they were saying that the judgment seat of Christ. And I think we just went, I know 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we were just there. Let me see. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Yeah, this is another one. Now, I know when we, as us, are we don't, the Lord has, when we were saved, the Lord doesn't, we're not going to be judged on our sins, because the Lord has already died for our sins. We'll be judged on our service and conduct. And there's some verses that, you know, we're already justified. We've seen that through in Romans 4, Romans 5. We already have our justification. But here in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we'll do verse 8. We are confident, and I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade man, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So that's one that's saying, hey, the judgment seat of Christ, the appearing, all the, you know, the language, and according to all that he has done, whether it be good or bad. So the conduct, our service, we know we're not going to be judged for our sins. We already have our stamp that we're saved, and our sins are past, present, and future sins are forgiven. Amen to that. So, let's see. Okay. We're about to be done here. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians, and I'm going to close that off. Verse 17 again. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And comforting one another with God's word is one of the best things we can do anyways. But let's go to Titus. I know there's so many verses I can go to, but let's just go to Titus 2. Oh, you know what? No. I do. I have to go to Philippians chapter 3. And then we'll go to Titus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. A very common, very known verse. Is it chapter 3? Yeah. Yeah, chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, meaning our citizenship, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. And I thought I had another one in Philippians in chapter in verse 1. Should to have desired to depart. No. All right, let's just go to Titus. But that's another verse proving, hey, we're going to get our bodies changed in the fashion of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And this is the verse, another famous verse that we all know. Titus 2, verse 11. I want to close with this. You know what? This is a good chapter here. But speak thou, verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given unto much wine, teachers in good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, and the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things show thyself a pattern of good works. In all things, show thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Verse 11, our true text. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Our great God and our great Savior. That verse is calling the Lord Jesus God. And that is a verse that's tying the looking for that blessed hope. That's tying into the rapture. That's our blessed hope there. And that the appearing of our great God and Savior that's going to come Himself for little me and you. So that is the rapture. So everybody I know knows what that is, but whoever's listening, the Lord loves you. He died for your sins, and that He paid the price, and that He's coming again. And He is risen, and He's coming again. Any questions, comments? No? Thank you. Oh, go ahead.
So many little things in these verses we shared today. First being that you sorrow not, and that's different than our natural grief for the person when they pass, but then we have a blessed hope. So it's a difference between the two different kind of, and we don't say to somebody, oh, don't be sad, we'll see him again. Well, they can be sad, but with a blessed hope.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. And I know sorrow is like a painful sadness where it like hurts you. It hurts to just like is, you know, man. That's a good point that it's human nature to feel some kind of sadness, but it's that we have the blessed hope. Go ahead, Boyd.
Verse 14 says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." That God will bring with him, there's two ways that's commonly understood. One is that when Christ comes out, gets off the throne, he's going to bring the spirits and the souls of those down to heaven and unite them with their bodies. I'm of the other opinion. I think what he's giving a brief overview of the rapture, and he's saying also which God will bring with him, that is, bring with him to heaven. So there's two ways you can understand that particular passage.
Okay.
You should also keep in mind that you didn't go to the passage, but in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." So the head of the rapture has already been raptured.
Yeah.
So that's a certainty that we will be also. You didn't go to those two passages.
Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing them up, because I did go over the ones at my house, but I think I was rushing there for going through 1 Corinthians 15, but that's a good point. I like that the head, our head, has already been raptured first, and that he's the one that we're following, and everything is going to be in his likeness, his death, burial, and resurrection, and then when we get caught up. That's how he got. Oh yeah, because he got caught up in the cloud, right? There. So that's good. That's good. So, anything else?
Also, it could be. You have to keep in mind too. It's impossible that there would be a post-tribulational rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there was a post-tribulational rapture, there would be nobody left to occupy. Nobody in their natural bodies to occupy the millennial kingdom.
Well.
That's just impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Go ahead.
I think the main thing that confuses the two different comings, there's a difference of the trumpet at this time. And some people think that's the trumpet of the second coming of the Lord when he comes to the
temple. Yeah.
That's 1 Corinthians 15:52, where it says, at the last trumpet.
Yeah.
Then they think that there's going to be a series of trumpets, and they take those series of trumpets. They think that's the last trumpet. So they take the trumpets from the book of Revelation and plug that in over there.
Does anybody have a comment on the judgment seat of Christ, the meeting in the air, or any?
How do we know the seat is right at the rapture?
Yeah, because I didn't know how to proceed from there. I just. That one, and I think that's it. Go ahead.
I remember Dave teaching about what you said, the heavenly host, Satan, being the prince of the power of the air.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're just going to be lifted up through it, and no harm will come, you know, piece of cake.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I thought that was interesting, because I never heard of that when, you know, Michael... the archangel, and that there might be some kind of strife on the way up, you know?
Yeah, I'm saying, Oscar, that we just come right through. I mean, Dave acknowledged that the armies of heaven, the heavenly hosts and everything would be there, and we just walk straight through like it was nothing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I forgot the part about the angels.
Yeah, no, that's good. Anybody else? Awesome. All right, well, I'm going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this understanding of this thing we're calling the rapture, and that you will come for us, you'll come for the body of Christ, just out of love, out of You've said it will be, and that it will be. And we believe, we have faith in that, and we're grateful for that. We're grateful that you wanted, that you want to give us immortality, to take off the mortal and put on the immortality in your fashion, in your pattern, in your likeness. And we want others to know this, and we want to keep the joy that we have. We want to rejoice in the things that we know, the people that we love, the church here, everyone. You know, you even tell us to love our enemies. And we want to be good examples, like we've seen there in Titus, that to be good examples, to, you know, that nobody can speak evil of us, that we do all that we can to do what's right in your name and in your glory, and in you, and everything we do for you. And thank you for this church, and thank you for the body of Christ here in this church and beyond. We give you honor and glory and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.